But right now we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to guide us as we look at His good word. And Father, thank you that your word is good, totally reliable, so good for us. We thank you that you share with us about yourself and about what you've done for us in Christ. And I just ask for this morning that the things that we read would just be so, come into our soul and being and aliven us and help us, Lord, to just praise your name and to be appreciative of who you are. So I ask that you would guide us. And I thank you for the time we've had thus far breaking bread and singing together and having Janine here and Betty and her family. Thank you that we can come together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a little bit of history. In the mid-1500s in England, there was a queen who ruled. That was Queen Elizabeth I. And she was a wonderful queen, and she ruled the land during the time after the Protestant Reformation. And she was the longest ruling monarch until Queen Elizabeth II beat that record. And Queen Elizabeth I reigned from 1558 to 1603, and she was a Protestant queen upholding the Protestant movement, which is what we belong to. That means she's upholding those great doctrines that we are saved by Christ alone, by God's grace alone, by faith alone, according to the Scripture alone. That's what she stood for. How good is that? A very important queen during a very critical time. But unfortunately, there were lots of adversaries to her. So there were rival rulers, as well as political Catholics who wanted to knock her off. So she had many assassination attempts. There's 8 main ones. And one of the biggest ones was the Babington plot in 1586. And Queen Mary of Scots was involved in some of these assassination attempts. Bit of rivalry there between the Scots and the English. But you know, there is one of the assassination attempts is not well known, but it involves a servant of Queen Elizabeth I. And she was serving the Queen, but was sort of persuaded that she should take the Queen's life. And so this lady dressed up as a male page and walked into the Queen's bedroom by that disguise, and she came and hid herself with a dagger in hand in the wardrobe of the Queen. But little did she know that the Queen's bedrooms are checked because of all the assassination attempts on her life, and she was caught out, and they disarmed her, and they brought her before the Queen. And the Queen's law was that anybody who was found wanting to assassinate her should be executed. Fair deal. And so she threw herself before the Queen, knowing that what her plight would be. And it's really amazing. She pleads on bended knee before the Queen for mercy, and that the Queen might have grace upon her. And I'm going to read to you the Queen's recorded words. Grace? If I show you grace, what promise will you make for the future? And the would-be assassin, this woman, she responded, paused and then responded humbly and thoughtfully. Your Majesty, grace that has conditions is not grace at all. What do you think of that answer? Well, that's challenging. Your Majesty, grace that has conditions is not grace at all. To which the Queen remarked, you're right, then I pardon you by my grace. Wow! She was spared. And you can just imagine all her servants and all her staff just being completely amazed. This would-be assassin has been spared. And then history tells us that this servant of the Queen, she kept her job and she became the most faithful and devoted servant of the Queen for the rest of her days. And why have I shared you with that story with you? Because that has such strong parallels to us. Have we tasted of God's grace? I hope you have. What amazing grace we have experienced if we have turned from our sin and self and turned to our Lord Jesus Christ. We have received amazing grace, have we not? We have been pardoned of all the wrong things that we have done against a holy God. We have been set free from judgment and condemnation. How amazing is that? And in the light of what God has done for us in Christ, what amazing grace we have been shown, how we ought to be the most faithful and devoted followers of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that how it should be? If we have any understanding of what the Lord has done for us. Have you experienced God's grace? And how would you view, if you have experienced God's grace, how would you view yourself as a servant of Jesus? How are you going with that? Who are you serving? Are you serving Him most gladly, or are you serving yourself? Well, this morning, we're going to continue in our series through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be seeing some wonderful verses. We're going to be looking at grace. Let me read to you those two amazing verses of grace in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're going to be looking at these verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Do you know those verses? You ought to understand those ones and memorize those two verses. But we're also going to be looking at the next verse, and the next verse talks about works. So we have grace and works. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And it all goes together, verses 8 to 10. So this morning we're going to be looking at grace and works, but I'm especially going to be looking at grace. We're going to be looking at saving grace. We're going to be looking at surpassing grace, and we're going to be looking at serving grace. So three great S words. So let's get into it. We're going to start off by looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Let me read those verses to you. And I know we looked at this last week. And it says there in verse 4, I just love it in the way my translation puts it. Two words to begin the verse, verse 4. What are those two words? But God. But God. But God, what an amazing little phrase to help us understand God has done something in our situation. For what situation were we in? As verses 1 to 3 highlight, we were dead, spiritually. Dead to God. We were spiritually dead and facing eternity, eternal death, being in hell one day. That's what we faced. We were under God's wrath. We were children of wrath, destined for wrath because of our rebellion to God. And then verse 4 says, but God! Isn't that awesome? But God, and what does it say? But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. You know, we should be jumping out of our skin when we read verses like that. God, what an amazing God. Because of Him, because of His great heart. Look at those verses there. It talks about rich in mercy, great in love, gracious, because of God, because of who He is. He's the Holy One like no other. He's like no human being, so much higher and greater than any one of us. What a love, what mercy, what grace that has enabled us enemies of God, us people who turned our back to God. What an amazing God that He should choose to make us alive, to give us life in Christ, to fill us with spiritual life and abundant life and eternal life. What amazing God He is. And I'm going to spend some time. Last week we looked at love and mercy, but I want to look at grace this morning. Grace, God's grace. You know, God's grace is more than mercy. God just having compassion upon us sinners. It's more than just love. God loving us enemies. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Giving us well and truly beyond anything we can understand. Giving us so much stuff we don't deserve. Giving us the very opposite. The very opposite. Isn't that amazing? Do you comprehend how extraordinary, how amazing God's grace is to us? And in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, after speaking about God's mercy and love and how we've been made alive together with Christ, at the end of verse 5 it says, by grace you have been saved. What a verse to underline. By grace you have been saved. Let us talk about saving grace. Saving grace. We have been saved by grace. You have been saved if you are in Christ. You've been pardoned of all your sins. How do you feel about that? By grace. You have been set free from the judgment of God. You will not face condemnation because you've been saved by grace. This is God's grace. We truly were guilty. We truly deserved God's wrath. We deserve to be sent to hell, but God has saved us by His grace. Choosing to do for us something that we don't deserve. What saving grace it is. And what music grace is to us sinners, to the sinner's ear. I never forget when I was 18, when I first came to know Jesus in a personal and real way, and I, as the Holy Spirit worked on my life, I realised that I'm in trouble with God. Boy, I thought everything would be fine, I'm okay, you know, I should make it, just make the grade. But as I began to realise that I will be found guilty, that I will be sent to hell, that I would be judged and condemned, I felt myself being so challenged and troubled, and I thought, what can I do? I can't do anything. I felt so helpless, so powerless. I'm guilty before a holy God. No amount of good works could ever make me right with God. And then I beheld grace. How, I just never forget that day when I beheld God's kindness to me, that He was willing to forgive me of all that I've done through His Son Jesus, by simply me trusting in Him. What grace! How can this be? How can the holy, just God forgive me? He can by His grace through His Son. It's really, really special. We sing about grace a lot, and we ought to. It's a very special thing that God has been gracious to us. And I now want to read to you verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. And how that spells it out. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is through faith. That's our part. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe in what God has done for us in Christ. But what the emphasis of this verse is, it's not so much the faith. The emphasis is the grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? Salvation. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And how I love that, how I love to know that I'm not saved by being religious, by doing lots of good works, by ascetic practices. I am saved by grace, by God's gift to me when I receive His Son. Don't you love grace? We are so in trouble with God, but He's been so gracious to us through His Son, Jesus. There's no way we can boast about anything, because we've been saved by grace. You can't even boast about your faith, because God enabled you to have that faith by His work in your life. It's all glory to Him. Do you get it? All glory to Him who has stirred our hearts and worked in our hearts and drawn us to Jesus and broken us in our pride so that we might give ourselves to Christ, and then God graciously saves us. We don't still deserve it, but we're saved. And you know, before I finish this little section, I've got to say to you, God can be gracious. What incredible grace we enjoy because of the incredible cost that Jesus paid for you and I. The holy God and just God is able to be gracious because of what He has done through His Son and because of Jesus dying upon that cross, bearing our sin and shame, bearing God's wrath, standing in our place, suffering for us, so that we could be forgiven. Never forget that. What a great cost was paid for us, and what great grace has been given to us when we receive Jesus. Alright, let's now continue on. I'm going to especially look at verses 6 and 7, but let me read 4 to 7, otherwise I'm breaking into the flow. And I want you to see something else. We looked at saving grace. How do you feel about saving grace? Feel like we should just stand up and sing a song. We'll keep going. How we should praise the Lord. Alright, let's read verses 4 to 7. Let's see something else about grace. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. That's enough, isn't it? But hang on, there's more. verse 6, and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you get what we've just read? Do you understand what's happening here? God hasn't just saved us by his grace. He has given us surpassing grace. He hasn't just saved us from our sins, saved us from the penalty of our sins. He has given us such incredible grace to lift us up and to seat us with Christ. Do you understand that? It's one thing for God to save us from our sins. It's another thing for God to do more than that, to lift us and elevate us and raise us and seat us with Christ. Do you get the picture? This is phenomenal. This is surpassing grace. Let's have a look at this. He's raised us up with Christ. Do you know that we once were far from God, alienated from God? We were enemies of God, and God has raised us up. Let me just pick on one thing. Raised us up to be the children of God. The beloved children of God. What a raising up. Far from God, he's adopted us into his family. He loves us as much as his own son. What an amazing grace. Do you see the grace in this? God didn't have to do that at all. I'll just save them. That's enough. No, not our God. He doesn't just save us. He brings us into his family and gives us the incredible status of children of the living God. And not only has he done that, but he has seated us with Christ. Do you understand what that means? Seated with Christ means that you are a joint heir with Christ. That you are the one who will possess all of creation with Christ. Man, that is just too hard to comprehend. That's what's happened. That's what God has done for you in his grace towards you in Christ. You are higher than the angels. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. They serve you now because of who you are in Christ. What incredible grace. Remembering that we once were sinners who had our backs to God, who did our own thing. What amazing grace that God should do this for us. And verse 7, I love how verse 7 speaks of, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And what a lovely verse about eternity. God, in his kindness and in his grace, he wants to in all eternity, just picture that, in all eternity, he wants us to constantly behold the riches of his kindness and grace to us in Christ, which includes being with Christ. We'll be around the throne, and God will wipe away every tear. These are the riches of his grace toward us in Christ. I call that surpassing grace. There's saving grace and there's surpassing grace. Do you get it? Do you understand how amazing it is? I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we read these words. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's an amazing two verses there. Yep. He spared not his own son, and has been so gracious in giving us so much more than we deserve. You know, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. How blessed are we? It says it in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. And I just got to do a little bit of a reminder of you. I know we live in a fallen world. And I know that we are fallen. And even though that's the case and we have a world that's hostile against us, I want you to remember who you have become in Christ and the surpassing grace that has been given you. To God, it's already happened. You're already seated with Christ and he wants you to live like that. What an honour we have, all because of grace. The world might hate you and despise you. Devils might oppose you. But you are the Lord's. And he has raised you up and seated you in the highest place with his Son the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Wow. Amen indeed. Don't you love this? We've got to just have a little pause, you know. You've got to take this in. I'm astounded by our God. I have to hold in tension what He's done for me and you, but what I really am without Christ and what I really deserve. I can't get over it. I am not treated at all in terms of what I've done. This is grace. God treating me in such an undeserved way. All right, we're now going to continue on, and we're going to look at one more verse, verse 10. So we've looked at saving grace and surpassing grace, and now I'll read verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So this verse seems like it's about works. So we have had grace, and then we have works. But I want to be very quick to tell you that what we read there about good works, that verse is still full and chock-a-block of that word that starts with G, grace. Do you see grace in a verse that has the word good works in? Let's explore this. Why is this verse about good works? I mean, not good works, got that wrong. Why is this verse about grace? Have a look. It's not about good works, it's about grace. The very first part of it, for we are His workmanship. That's grace. Do you understand how that's a gracious thing? What a gracious thing that God shouldn't just save us from our sins, but that He should choose to work in us. Because if I was God, I surely wouldn't. How frustrating you lot are, you know. We always muck it up. You know, like I think of what a gracious work of God that He should work in us. Isn't that grace? Never giving up. Constantly working in us. We are His workmanship. You know, let's get the picture right. We were God's workmanship when we were created in our mother's womb. What a lovely verse. Colleen's favourite. Psalm 139, verse 13. How the Lord knitted us together in our mother's womb. And we were created in the image of God. But man, Adam and Eve blew it, and we got a bias towards sin, and then we've added to it by our own bad choices, and we've marred the image. But when we come to be in Christ, God takes hold of us, we become His workmanship, and God begins a new work. A great work in our life. What grace. What grace. And I'm going to read to you, I love this, in each chapter of 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5, a triplet of amazing verses about us being God's workmanship. So the first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Do you get that? This is God's workmanship. He is working in us to change us from one degree of glory to another, getting better and better, becoming more like Christ. This is the work that God is doing in us. Let me now read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That one great verse is saying God has flooded our soul with light that we might reflect the face or the image of Christ. Wow, that's His workmanship in us. And one more verse, you should know this one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Wow, what a verse. The old is gone, the new has come. And it's all because of God's grace, a wonderful grace. God wants to work in our life. He takes hold of us and He's committed to working in us. And what a commitment. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, we read, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I can't help but read that verse and go, that's grace. God's grace, undeserved favour, God continuing to work in Ian, continuing to work in you, even though we frustrate God, even though we blow it at times, even though we frustrate God to the hills, He continues to work in us. What grace! What do you think of this? Has God given up on you yet? No! Isn't that gracious of Him? He should have given up on me when I was 18 years and a few days old, because I'd already blown it. You know, like, wow, but He didn't. He is gracious beyond measure. What a God. So gracious. So, you know, when I think of this, I think of this verse, what grace that we are His workmanship. But I want you to see some other things in this verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, good works is mentioned. What's this good works all about? Let me make it very clear. This good works has got nothing to do with salvation. Is it? These good works are what God wants us to do for His glory. For His glory. Not for salvation, but for His glory. I love how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said these words, let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's it. All right. So do you see that good works has got nothing to do with salvation? It's to do with glorifying God. But I want you to see something special about good works. God is working in your life, and I want you to see grace here. Not only is it gracious for God to work in us, but He has been so gracious to enlist us and to use us for His glory. That is a gracious act of God. I would not have chosen myself, because He would know, you know, we know that we mess up God's, we mess up things and we bring shame to the Lord's name. But He has enlisted you and I, if we are in Christ, to serve Him. That's how good work fits into the Christian life. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's to do with glorifying God. It's to do with the honour we have to serve the Lord. Do you understand that? It's not meant to be, oh, I've got to do all these good works. Oh, no. No, it's meant to be, yes, I have the grace that God has given me to serve Him. Do you see the grace? Why would God let any of us do anything? Because we mess it up. Because He's so gracious. He's willing to use us frail people, that through our frailty, the Lord's glory might shine forth. Isn't that wonderful? What a picture. This is a God of grace. What saving grace. What surpassing grace. And I call this last part, what serving grace. The grace to serve the Lord. Grace is meant to fire up the Christian. Grace. Not law. Grace. It's meant to get us up and jumping around alive for Christ. Living for the kingdom. Living for the glory of God. Shining the light to the lost. The grace of God. The Apostle Paul at the beginning of Ephesians, he is so strong on this point before he gets into the practical sections. Grace is what's meant to motivate every Christian. What amazing grace it is. And let me just read to you before I close in prayer things that we've looked at already in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at the emphasis on grace. In Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will to the praise of the glory of His grace. And it also goes on to say, in Him we have redemption through His blood to forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. What grace? Our Father, as I just come before You in prayer, I know it just feels so inappropriate to say thank You for Your grace. It's just beyond compare. That You should be gracious to us. Thank You for this amazing passage we've looked at this morning that highlights to us that You are like no other. You are so gracious. You have been so gracious to save us. You've been so gracious to lift us up to the highest heights. And you're so gracious in allowing us, Father, to be involved in your will and kingdom, to serve you. Thank you for your incredible grace to us. And Lord, as a Christian, I thank you for that grace that you show to us, to me every day, in allowing us to continue. You are so patient. You're so gentle. You're so loving, so kind, even when we sin against you, even when we are just so broken and messed up. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you for your incredible grace to us. Lord, I just love you so much. I thank you for who you are. Oh, Lord, help us to live a life where we truly are a devoted follower of Jesus. We live our life fully for him in the light of your grace to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you all.